100 Word Stories.
This is the 100 Word Stories podcast. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. I swore an oath to write a 100 word story every day until the day I die. It's right there on the domain name. Well, I'm not dead yet, and neither are you. Let's write and share. Because today is Sunday, which means it's your turn. I call this thing the weekly challenge, where I post the topic and you come up with the stories. The topic this week was tea, although I'm drinking coffee right now with a lot of Bailey's in it. But can you blame me? We've got a lot of stories this week, so let's go ahead and get right to it. First up, it's Rick Thomas. Now, he's got a 3GP file. I wonder if that's going to translate. I'm sure there's all sorts of filters. Where there's hope, I guess. Here's Rick.
As she led him through the pasture, the full moon lit the way. She selectively plucked the mushrooms of her choice from the cow pies. Once back home, they were cleaned, boiled, and finally strained from the tea. A packet of Kool-Aid, heavy sugar, and lemon juice. Herbs, a candle, an incantation. They finished their glasses in one swallow. Delicious. As she refilled their glasses, reality swam away from him in long, steady strokes. It was then he saw her for what she was, a sorceress. In her eyes, he saw the reflection of a man enchanted, soul forever lost.
Dang, Rick, is that the first recording you sent in? Wow. You should drop a few of these shows like Drabblecast and Escape Pod and a few other, like Pseudopod's a part of Escape Pod. You should drop them a line. You could do some readings for them, man. Cool. Thanks, Rick, and it's good to hear from you. Mushroom tea. No, I'm going to stick to my Baileys. You can't put Baileys and mushroom tea, can you? Next up, we have The Return of Claire Voyant. Am I pronouncing it that word? I think I am. It's a collaboration by the Nuns of Perpetual Movement of Seattle West, Hummingbird, Water Spring, Dancing Fleur Butterwings, Infinity Troll Splinter, Heather Springgrass, Rosta Starlight Wrinkle, she's still writing, and Sandalwood Godthread. That's an impressive cast there. Let's hear your story.
Every pouring of the special hot tea was ceremonious. Eddie made elaborate flourishes with the teapot, flipping the porcelain cup in the air, before pouring the Earl Grey with aplomb. He tossed a small, silver spoon into the air, and it landed directly into the middle of the ornate teacup without the hint of a splash. He sliced a fresh lemon, behind his back, without looking, and placed the wedge carefully, edgewise, on the saucer. Eddie was an artist, and people would make it a point to go to the truck stop to see him work, regardless of being teetotalers. The tea, or elixir, she poured was guaranteed that I would attract females. I paid the gypsy $1,000 for 3 of her potions. The last, the tea, would complete the course she insisted I required. Had I known what kind of females I would attract, I would have gone elsewhere for help dans le département de l'amour. As I exited the gypsy's storefront, I bumped into a slim, attractive, blonde. I excused my clumsiness, helping her to pick up her packages. She scowled and told me to fuck off, and screamed, "Watch where you're going, you clumsy oaf." Millie only drank chai tea with soy milk and a smidgen of salvia. She was a total aficionado of the stuff, and when she drank it, she held her pinky high, like the royal mum at afternoon tea. She was stunning in her appearance, but her habits were annoying, ostentatious, and I felt embarrassed to sit with her at the coffee house. She affected a pseudo-British accent, only slightly covering her Brooklyn accent, which made the whole scenario that much more bizarre, but entertaining. I put up with her affectations as her husband and co-owner of a large liquor chain.
Thank you, Claire, and all the others that I mentioned. You work good as a team. Well, work well as a team. This is what happens when you become a professional writer. I'm not an expert writer. As the pile of empty red pens by Rosie's desk suggests. My wife and I went into my office yesterday. We were carrying 9 bottles of Torani syrups. I have a huge shelf of Torani syrups at my desk at work, and I need to pick up a few more pumps too. Syrup pumps. I don't need penis pumps. Well, I probably, hold on. Yeah, I probably do. But, no, all different flavors that could go with coffee, and occasionally I'm bad. Okay, often I'm bad. Diet soda, as if I didn't have enough reasons to be depressed. And, you know, life's too short for boring coffee. I like to say that. Life's too short for boring sandwiches. Life's too short for boring pizza. As Warren Zevon said, enjoy every sandwich. And, yeah. Let's go ahead and move up to Jeffrey Fisher's place and knock on the door. He'll be waiting for you.
Hello, Jeffrey Fisher here with my entry for the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge on the subject of tea. And before I get to the actual story, in one of life's little coincidences, I happen to be looking through the book Rick Steves' Amsterdam. And at one point, he's talking about the red light district of Amsterdam. And there's SM signs in windows advertising prostitutes specializing in S&M. And he notes that the code for different specialties seems to have changed over time, and that once upon a time it was based on countries. So he says, formerly the international code for rough sex was Russian massage. French meant oral. Greek meant anal. And he says, British, I believe, meant sharing tea. Anyway, after that little joke at the expense of the British, we'll go on with the story. In the 1970s, I ran a small hospital in a war-torn African country. We had few medical supplies and were chronically short of painkillers, but we always had plenty of tea from a nearby plantation. When patients appeared in severe pain and mortally wounded, I personally served the tea. Laced with strychnine, it ended their suffering in as humane a way as possible. Of course, eventually the authorities got wise to my unusually high mortality rate. A general sat in my office, serious look on his face, impatiently tapping a leg. Tea, General?
Thank you, Jeffrey. I needed that. What other countries out there have their little signals, have their little hidden meanings? I'm going to be a little off this week if you haven't figured out by now. Sorry about that. Yordi, you have a story. It's a about damn time. Okay, folks, let's open the door and welcome Yordi Sands in. She's finally come through. This is cool. And although, have you been on before? See, I can't remember. If you'll pardon me, I'm a little out of it today. All right. Here she is.
Tom and Viv and Me by Yordi Sands. On a late August afternoon, while dancing around my bedroom in my undies, I was suddenly swept into a time vortex. Instantly, I was standing in a parlor filled with old people. A spectacled man mumbled, I shall sit here, serving tea to friends. Ever so politely I said, I'll have sweetener in my tea, please. The guests turned and glared at me. A man asserted, Young woman, T.S. Eliot is not serving tea. And the woman beside the great poet shouted, Tom, who is this slut? Untroubled, Tom made a cowardly amends for what Viv had said to me. The end. P.S. I borrowed some of the words from the poem Portrait of a Lady by T.S. Eliot.
Well, after all, afternoons will be measured out with coffee spoons and T.S. Eliot. Not teaspoons and T.S. Eliot. Although T.S. could stand for teaspoon. It doesn't. Thank you, Yorty. And, yeah. Next up, we have... Oh! Okay, it's pronounced Maeve, she says. I always get that wrong. It's Maeve Hambrick. And, see, I put in the B. I keep putting in the B. Hambrick. Hambrick. Let's all say that together. Hambrick. Okay. Maeve Hambrick. See, I feel like I'm going... His name was Robert Paulson. Okay. She didn't send in a recording, so I'm going to go ahead and... I'm going to go ahead and read this one. The only thing that saved old Jim Malone was the wet darkness of the city street. Leaning back to avoid the crooked merchant's fist, the old war wound and rotgut whiskey conspired to plant him ace first on the pavement. All the way down, he's looking at the flash of the Tommy gun. That's got to be Lee Shea's boys. Crap, he thought to himself, led them right to the old man. He woke next to an old, dead body, the crowd starting to close in, pellets of tea scattered on the sidewalk, and the stench of puer in his nose. That one took a few takes. I tried doing in a noir voice, but I couldn't quite. Thank you, Maeve, for understanding there. This week, you know. It was only just last year. I hope this doesn't turn back into an annual event again. Next up is, let's see, Explorer Dastardly has a story for us. She's over at Dashboard Messages. I think she's got something up for the Remembrance Day today. Memory. All right, let me just bring this up. Got to bring up Acrobat Reader. You know, the one thing that I wish Adobe would do is make this stuff load quickly. It's always, oh, we're going to add features, and add features, and add features, and it's like, I just want it to load so I can copy and paste from it, damn it. All right, here's Explorer's story, and she recorded it.
Tea by Helen R. Starr. Tea is not coffee. Yes, coffee has a smoky flavor, but is not seductive like tea. Tea's preferences are a matter of choice or blend of leaves, white, green, black, or oolong. She's not your pinky, toddling English drink anymore. Tea seduces the biggest of men with medicinal essences. Tea, a companion in a cup, she's warm, earthy, and seductive. Just boil a pot of water, get your favorite cup, and pour after a stressful day. You are never alone with a cup of tea. Let the warmth seep through your soul. Take a deep breath. Hold and exhale.
Thank you, Helen. I hope you don't mind that I edited the... I think you wanted me to remove the beginning and the end from that, so that if I need to post the original with the warm-up and the and all that, let me know. I'll post it on its own so that folks can hear that. I don't know. I didn't know which one. Sometimes folks send in stuff with a lot of, you know, a loss for words today, I guess. Next up is Lizzie Goodcoff. Hold on. Let me. There she is. And let's just look up and down. And that file is good. Okay. Lizzie, let's hear a story.
Come over for tea. And they did. Cinnamon. We have all been there, she said, and they thought she was slipping into the abyss of an improbable mental decay. The fireflies have lit up the garden yesterday, she said, and they thought, hallucinations. She was still so young. Oh, and I had the most refreshing dinner with your cousin Edwin, she continued, and they thought, Edwin is dead. When they left, Edwin's spectral figure glided down the stairs coming from the attic. It's cold up there, he complained, and she pointed at the teapot and replied, they just wouldn't leave. This was my story for the week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcroft.blogspot.com to check what I've been writing lately. I hope you enjoy it. And talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you, Lizzie. And, sorry, I'm just... My mind is elsewhere. But I need to... I want to get this done for y'all. And then, maybe go for a walk or something. Walk along West Park. Next story is by... Let's see. It's, hold on. Miata Stardust saw a reference to this on Google Plus in one of the communities. And they want to join in, so it's like, okay. Alright. Maybe I should post this to, are there any writing communities in Google Plus that would want to, have me post this? I saw that there's another challenge out there. In addition to the Dribblecast, was a really nice person that sent something. Hold on. I'll find it. One photo, 50 perspectives, 100 words. From Madison Woods. And I think the link is there on the sidebar. If it's not, I will add it in the next day. And, so that's another challenge out there. There are a lot of them going on. People are trying to get each other to write, to express, and that's cool. That's cool. We've been doing this for almost 8 years. The challenge is almost, seven. They started when 100 words or less Nessman kind of dropped the ball, kind of faded away, and it's like, all right, you know, folks wanted a writing challenge on keep going, keep trying. It's like, all right, and then most of them never showed up. You know how it is. Hey, you should do this. Oh, I'm not going to be a part of it, but you should do this. Hey, jump off a cliff. Hey, go play in traffic. Yeah. All right. I'm going to go ahead and read Miata's story here. Southern iced tea. I was in a horrible turmoil. Life on all sides. Divorce, work, problems were chasing me. I could not breathe. Closing the door, I turned around and saw you. All confusion flew away. I breathed in quiet, happiness, and serenity. I sat down to eat with you, took in your smile, your laughter, your eyes. You held your hand out for mine, and as I grasped it, my hand slid down the glass of tea, feeling the contrast of cool water droplets and the warmth of your fingers. My soul was finished with its journey. I found peace. If only it were so simple, Miata. If only it were so simple. As my hand goes down the coffee cup, I find, well, I don't know. Thank you for being a part of it this week, Miata. Well, welcome aboard. Hopefully you'll stay and keep coming back and back and back and back and back. You'll never get away. Okay. Justin got away for a bit, but he came back. And Zachman, oh, he tried to escape. He nearly chewed his leg off, and then he realized, oh, wait. It isn't chained to the floor. So, man. Okay. Oh, yeah, Zachman, his story. Just, yeah. How are y'all holding up? How are you dealing with this train wreck today? What a day. Well, I might post an audio boo of... even that has his name in it.
Look, a cafe. Weren't you a regular cola drinker? Not for years, though. I had to cut down on my sugar, and I'm not giving up cookies, so now I drink unsweetened tea, usually Te Java. Do they call you Mr. T now? No, but I'm calling my next cat T. Morris. Why? Something Pip said about working with tea is like herding cats. Well, I am naming my next cat Earl Grey. Why? Because English Breakfast Blend is a really stupid name for a cat. Look, my tea leaves are telling me something. Really? What? I'm out of damn tea.
Thank you, Zachman. You know, we went by the shelter yesterday, and we went by an adoption group in the strip mall. I don't know, maybe we could... English Breakfast Tea could be a funny name. But there was this one splotchy kitten at the bark shelter climbing up the side of the cage. Just one... I wanna... It's like... Yeah. Just give me a second here. All right. Well, the month of little birds is almost over. But Muncie has one more for us to call us little birds. And he's going to call us something else, I guess. We've been called funk masters. We've been called little birds. What are we now? What are we now? I don't know. It's Black History Month next month. Maybe Soul Brothers. Is that it? I don't know. We've already been called Funk. Is Funkmaster similar to Soul Brother? I don't know. We'll have Muncie explain. Maybe he can explain in the comments. No, that would be crazy. All right, here's Muncie.
Greetings, little birds, to this, your last week of little birdhood. Muncie here, bidding a fond farewell to your January collective nickname, and presenting you with a story. Hup, hup, here we go. Tea, by Christopher Monroe. As you know, I work at a restaurant. As you may not know, prepping pots of tea is annoying. It's more steps than other drinks, so I have to wait in more lines. And half the time, we don't have clean teapots, and I either have to wait or hand wash one. Which isn't to say you shouldn't order tea. It's your meal. If you want tea, have tea. However, so you know, next time somebody orders a pot of tea, I make it, get back, and their friend orders a pot of tea, I'm burning the place to the ground. Flash fiction at ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, tweets at Munzee Munzee, broken escalator, etc. I bet you thought I was going to make a Mr. T joke this week. Well, I didn't. Don't you feel foolish? I pity you.
Thank you, Munzee. So we're no longer little birds. What are we? What are we now? Maybe we're fools next week. I don't know. So, maybe you could suggest some collective names in the comments, everyone. For those of you who are actually listening to this, as opposed to just, oh, I don't know, reading the stories, and then, oh, I'm going to put a comment in it. Oh, I collect 25,000 eaves. Don't you feel like desperados under the eaves? So, yeah, I've been posting missions to Empire Avenue to convince folks to, hey, come on, join in. We got a few folks in from that, even writing. And the comments, I'm making a point to answer comments. And folks, if you're writing here and someone says something in the comment, let them know. You know, hey, that Munzee, his stuff is great. Munzee, go ahead and reply back. Hey, thanks, man. Although I don't know how you do that sound. You probably know how to write it. You probably invented that sound. Before then, cavemen were just, you know, smacking their faces or, until, you know, you came along in your lab. You know, let's see, we could do this. No, that sounds kind of disgusting. Oh, we got it! And then, like, you know, like Thomas Edison, you stole it from your researcher. That was Munzee, so... drag you into that folder. Next up is Serendipity Haven. So here's Serendipity.
Oh, the factories may be roaring with the boom-a-lack-a, zoom-a-lack-a wee, but there isn't any roar when the clock strikes four. Everything stops for tea.
The tea parties had been fun at first. The Hatter's endless riddles and jests with the March Hare amused her. Although she often felt sorry for the poor Dormouse. Not that he ever seemed to mind the antics they got up to. Eventually the whole thing started to get on her nerves. The constant swapping of chairs. And the never-ending supply of awful, always cold, and far too strong tea. Alice determined that today would be her last. Politely declining another cup, she brushed aside the Hatter's protests, informing him with relish exactly where he could shove his teapot.
Thank you, Serendipity. Everyone get up. This is the time in the podcast where everyone gets up and moves one place to the left. Oh, I'm at the head of the line. I'm going to get the clean dishes and plate. Well, the rest of you all. Well, that's a silly little tea party. What was it from Jay and Silent Bob story and say, what a lovely little tea party. Oh, how time rolls on. Next up we have Tom. He has no updates for us. Why are you expecting those? You don't need those to know that things are rolling, that numbers control our lives. Statistics, they are the thread that keeps everything together. Otherwise, it would be chaos and madness, and, well, maybe madness right now wouldn't be a bad thing. Tom, tell us a story.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and tonight's story is called Chinoyu. A friend built a tea house to the most stringent of specs. Every beam, board, and bell were well within the parameter worthy of a visit of the emperor himself. There is a single nail with a single name that costs $70. A bowl of such sublime beauty and antiquity that a price can scarcely be placed on it. He is well on the road to becoming a tea master, and on occasion I've partaken in one of his tea ceremonies. I'm not fond of tea, and the peculiarities of the movement escapes me. Still, the elegance is enveloping. Hello, 100-word digesters. If you're inclined to be interested in a tale set in the Sherlock Holmes universe, I have 15 installments sitting over there in the archives. It's under the drop-down menu, and it's under Tom. Well, no, it's actually under the Amber Rose of Amazon, which is actually the name of the story. Since Lawrence's arm is better, the one we don't talk about, I'm going to be posting weekly. I have stored away roughly 108 sections, so that'll take about 2 years to go through it. But heck, what else are we going to do? If you want to give it a listen, let me know what you think. Bye, kids.
Thank you, Tom. And I'll start getting those amber roses that you're sending me up to the site. It's been a bit of a week these past few days. Sorry about that. Next up, we have Sing. Chris Mooney Sing. Online. See, it says online. So I'd like, you know, it doesn't have a hyphen though, but maybe if his name had online in there, that'd be a cool name to have. Dang, getting the feedback in my drinking of coffee. We always had a cardboard box in the living room here. The cats like boxes. And, you know, it was one that Bruin treated his little kitty mansion, his little kitty house. Whenever he was, you know, in a bad mood, he'd just go in there. You know, turn around, and it's like, I'm in my kitty house. You know, you leave me alone. And, yeah, it's still there. Here's Sing's story.
Teacup by Chris Mooney Sing. Let me read your tea leaves, darling. I see backseat love in woods. I see hand leading to altar. I hear, I do. I see liftoff. Interstellar journey. Arrival. He peels off face. Strange blue skin. Eye sockets. Pinhole mouth? Darling, you have married alien. Ouch. Impregnation gun. Clinic. Thousands behind glass. Meal tube. You're 9 months then. Joy. a blue boy. Strange blue life in sky condominium. Blue planet TV hours. Then, blue academy. His graduation. Your work is done, darling. Goodbye, Earth Mother. Return. Wormhole. Landing lights. Drop off in woods. Green, you are home. Home? Interesting. Another cup of tea, darling?
Thank you, Singh. An interstellar journey. I could use that right now. Maybe I should put a little more Bailey's in the coffee and see what it triggers. Next up, we have Tura Bregianu. And... Well, here, you give it a listen. See what you think.
It began when her parents named her Thea. Of course, the kids at school would call her T, even some of the teachers. It wouldn't have been so bad, but the family name was Cap. Then when her brother was born, they called him Kofi. But things really went wrong when she overheard her parents talking about more baby names. Her mother suggested Chai or Latty, but her father wanted Beanie. They're orphans now. Nothing was proved, but I can't say I blame them. They were adopted, but whatever were the social workers thinking? Their new parents are called Mug.
Thank you, Tura. I'm just typing in here, and there we go. I've got Bonchances and Sevi's stuff ready in the notes. Well, I'm doing this as I'm listening to the previous story. I'm copying and pasting the text of the next one into the post, and just one by one. And I set up the links before I started so that I know the order of the stories. I change off every week. I do it a different way here and there. I know I'm supposed to be a creature of habit and routine, but... Oh, what creatures we are. What noisy cats are we. Here's Bonchance and Sevi. Wait, hold on. Confirm. The collaborative works of Severina Halo Star and Bonchance Longo. Okay, it is. And little Pepe's in here, too. Just in case you're worried, like, oh no, what happened to Pepe? Well, here he is.
Crab Mariner's 100-word challenge. This week's challenge word is tea. These are collaborative works between Severina Halestar, Bonchance Longfall. We have a blog at novavox.wordpress.com. Novavox. New voice. Collaborative works between Severina Halestar, Bonchance Longfall. T. Peppy had a plan. Reading in Hello Mutt magazine, tea was very popular in America. Brewing a perfect cuppa took time and patience, said the article. What a perfect backdrop to his Mary Jane investment. He could open a tea emporium as a front to his spice operation and make millions. Opening day came quickly. Peppy spread the word about his special tea blend. All you had to do to get a bag of stash was say, make it spicy. He opened the crate of his special shipment from Chairman Meow, only to find it full of Meow mix. I think Peppy is in trouble again. Tea. Black or creamy. Sweet or savory. Delicate leaves evoke emotions as the tender plant is harvested. Aromas fill the air surrounding you. Rituals in abundance, showing respect to humankind. An offering displayed through the swirl of a ladle. Eyes fixated on gentle movements of the dance. With a graceful finish, as the steaming pure water flows down into fine porcelain, the yin and the yang, raising the vessel of desire up to your nose, you breathe in anticipation of the musical release of flavors that will fill your mouth, awaken the senses. You offer the ritualistic chalice to your love.
Thank you, Bonchance and Sevi. You two make a good team. Could probably, I don't know, hunt whales. One packing the box and the other wrapping it. Don't forget the bubble wrap around the fragile stuff, you know. I've been getting a lot of bubble wrap recently. All the Trani syrup bottles that I had ordered. If there is a place in Houston that sells both Tarani and Da Vinci syrups, and I don't have to have the special ones sent out, I'm so sick of paying so much for shipping for the rare ones. Blueberry sugar-free is the one that gets me, and that's Da Vinci. That's the good one. And, you know, Cost Plus, World Market, usually has a good supply of the black cherry and the raspberry, sugar-free. But I guess I need to write the Trani people and say, hey, where do you sell them in Houston? Who orders the whole range that I can? Is there a restaurant supply company that I can get from? You know, ordering directly from you, it takes a few days of shipping, it might break and all that. Hey, how about we cut out the middleman? I can buy them in cases. Oh, I use them by the case, trust me about that. Life's too short for boring coffee, man. And boring soda, and boring this, and boring that, and boring, 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 boring. Let me not bore you with more whining and bitching, and just, Justin, Space Turtle, you know the sound. Let's all do it together.
Space Turtle. Just a moment, sir, here from the spaceturtle.com. I've got my last story based on the game Deus Ex Human Revolution, also with the topic of tea. Here we go. Adam Jensen sat in his apartment, recuperating from everything he'd been through. He sipped his tea, watching the news. Picus TV repeated his broadcast, telling the world what he had decided they needed to hear. The media poured into the mind of the world, their brains steeping in the information. Newscasted added their own flavors to the story. Some were soothing and calm, others were spicy and gave heated arguments. But would the world listen? Certainly they would believe the TV, as they always did. But would they make rational decisions and make positive change? Or would humanity stay exactly the same?
Thank you, Justin. You know, I almost forgot Cliff again. I almost forgot him again. I caught myself. I looked at you. Okay, so this is the second take of this piece. And I was at 4 minutes, and I'm looking. It's like, how could I ramble for 4 freaking minutes? I thought I was making good time. You know, I was rambling about going to Portland and this and that, and something's missing. Oh, right, Cliff's story. See, I'm a little more aware of it. I'm checking things off as I move people from the podcast folder to the last week folder. So, no, you're not. Okay, so here we go with Cliff and his story. Every time I see motion out that window, I just have to look. Corner of your eye. I'm going to be seeing ghosts for a while, aren't I? And every time Mist walks around, I'm going to think it might be him. That's pretty messed up, man. We've been through this before.
Jared heard the zombies scratching at the door and knew they'd soon be through. He had thought that if he made it out of London, he'd be safe in the country. But the plague was here waiting. He'd taken refuge in a shop, but they'd found him. When the door splintered, he announced, "Have a seat. Tea will be served shortly." The undead looked confused, but each quickly found a seat. Jared gripped the cricket bat and stepped towards his customers, thankful that the English loved both their tea and manners. "One lump or two?" he asked, and started serving.
I've been doing a lot of multiple takes of these rambles, if you can't quite figure that out. So instead of just saying, "Thank you, Cliff," I go off and ramble and all that. And then I realize I'm somewhere that I don't want to be. You know that, The Naked Gun? Where Frank Drebin is walking and just going through the side and all these strange places he's going through, and then he realizes he's at the sidewalk, and it's the end of the sidewalk, and he looks in, and where the hell am I? And it's like, yeah, that. Leslie Nielsen, how well you knew. Next up we have Norval Joe, the price of friendship.blogspot.com. I was going to say price of friendship. He could probably buy the price of friendship.com and map it. I bet you could. But why? Why things are going good? Why change? You know, you don't need that domain. I could have gone with one a day until the day I die. WordPress.com or blogpress.com or coffeepress.com or pantspress.com. Ooh, pantspress. And another belch comes up. I thought this coffee was smooth. It's red velvet coffee with the usual Baileys, plain Baileys, and a bit of milk. So it should be smooth with a little bit of caffeine, and yet, you've heard it. No, I'm not stressing over anything at all, really. How are you today? Here's Norval Joe.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press and of The Price of Friendship Summer Surprise, available at audiobooks.com. And before the month ends, I just want to make it perfectly clear that Norval Joe ain't no one's little bird. He's one big old stinking fat bird. So, my stories. "I thought we'd see more stars out here," Boral Flemburn said. "It looks like a cup of tea I once had on Cretus IV, black with little bits of white stuff floating in it." "Those white spots out there aren't stars, they're galaxies," flirty Torque Spindle replied. "The reason you see so few of them is because we're most of the way to the universal expansion limit." "You think we'll find any fish out here?" "That's kind of a stupid question for an intergalactic ichthyologist." "Well, it's as smart as, how in time and space did you get us clear out here?" Right. Next story. "We always avoided Grandma when we kids were feeling a little, how would you call it, irregular. Most kids' mom would give them castor oil, or if they're lucky, prunes. Grandma couldn't wait to dose you with her special wiener dog tea. I always thought they were saying wiener dog pee. It was yellow and smelled bad enough. Found out it was actually the water of boiled berries from a bush that grows over where Grandma's old wiener dog is buried. They say on full moons, the ghost of that dog still pees on that bush. I believe it, too. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Norval Joe. And, wiener dog pee. Nope. Drinking coffee. I had a pitcher of hibiscus tea this week. And then we're back to regular on the weekends. Then I'll flip back to something weird again. I got this rose petal tea. Problem is it's free. You know, the loose dried crap. And we don't have a tea ball. Well, we probably do. But that takes a while to steep. But it is nice to just spread it out and put in little sachets. And it smells nice. Let's go ahead and read, Red Goddess hasn't sent a recording, but I'll go ahead and do this for her. Let's get this done. More adventures from Lola. Lola misses girls' night out with her best friends. Since they've gotten older and juggling jobs and families, they've seen each other less. In high school, they used to hang out every day after school over sodas and a basket of fries at the local diner. They gossiped about everything and gave advice about boys. Life was so simple when together, eating their problems away. These days, soda is not going to cut it after dealing with her nasty boss. At home, her sister knows just what she needs to take her mind off her troubles. She makes a potent pitcher, Long Island iced tea, served with a box of brownies. They talk for hours, reminiscing over drinks, until they both pass out on the living room floor. Oh, Lola, eating and drinking your troubles away? You know, that sounds like a good idea. So, thank you, Red Goddess, for the adventures of Lola. One day she'll win. One day. She'll rule over us all with an iron fist. Iron fist. Iron fist. Ooh, maybe that could be a topic some week. Iron fist. No, that would be trapping people. I don't know what we'll do. So, one more story this week. You know who it is. Put your hands together around somebody's throat for Planet Z.
I'll try to explain this again. In England, tea is something you serve hot in a teacup. But down in Texas, where people ask for tea, they're asking for iced tea. And in Georgia, they want their tea sweetened. The seven-eyed mass of tentacles writhed in understanding behind the bar at Susquehanna Station to do... Wait, oh no. He actually signaled for Zofovian Bouncer to throw me out of this place. Which really sucks, because this was the only bar in Susquehanna with a human breathable atmosphere. The Zofovian haven't put me down yet. Oh, shit. He's carrying me to the airlock.
Thank you to everyone who was a part of the weekly challenge this week on the 100 Word Stories podcast. You can go to the website at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com for links to the author's websites, the text of the stories, an archive of shows, social network sharing options to let people know, hey, look at this, and a whole bunch of other stuff you won't bother with anyway. Until next week, where the topic will be black, this is Lawrence Simon saying thank you for listening, and, as always, keep it brief.